It is time for Arts Live and Local. We were just talking about the fact that the arts and culture in this area has totally exploded in a wonderful way. However, that does make life a little difficult sometimes. So listen in, jot things down, and do get out and do something. Don't be stymied by all the things going on. Right now, though, I want to send this show out to the people of Mali who have, well, if you're listening to the news, you know, and if you don't, just enjoy the music and think of the people of Mali. And thanks for being here. It is beautiful right here in the Columbia Pacific region. From an album. It's Vieux Farka Touré, the son of Ali Farka Touré, and it's actually a benefit album fighting malaria from 2006. Bravo. Well, bravo for us as well, because we have many people doing good deeds here. And one of the best ways to bring world peace, in my estimation, is through the arts. And I was actually right here at KMUN when I discovered a copy of The New Yorker. It's May 13th, 2013, if you want a reference. Page 38. When I was growing up, we always had the New Yorkers in the bathroom over the bathtub, and I always would read the cartoons. So, of course, that's what I did. And here's a cartoon I thought, oh, my God, this is just what we don't do here in the Columbia Pacific region, and hopefully you don't either. It's a cartoon with a little girl holding an animal, and she's just come back in her backpack, and she's just come back from school, and she's saying to her mother, "The art lady came in and told me all people want is derivative crap." So my first guest is here to say, "What? No way! Not here. Not anywhere." And that is Jan Richardson. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Carol. It's
you didn't know about that, here. Did you?
So that's really pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but unfortunately, it's you know,
often true.
It happens. So fortunately, it's not the case here. And you're here to prove it. You are going to tell us about the Peninsula Clay Artists' fifth annual show and sale. And that is beginning Wednesday, is that right?
That's right. We start Wednesday actually at 10 in the morning, but we're having a party that evening to celebrate, and we will have live music with the Peninsula's own Brian O'Connor.
Oh, he's wonderful, yeah.
And his wife is one of
Renee,
our potters. She's a great potter.
Okay,
and mosaic artist.
You know, this is what I love here. Everybody is doing double duty, triple duty in many parts of life.
And in addition, Renee is part of the Mozart Chicks quartet from the peninsula. She's a fine musician.
Right. I would like to hear about that sometime. I saw their picture one time and mm-hmm. I just giggled, but I wasn't quite sure what they were doing. So maybe we'll have them playing somewhere. And I like the idea also that you're having a party. So what I'm understanding is you're actually going to be open till when?
We're open that night till 8. We will also have one other evening event during the El Waco Art Walk on the 15th of August.
Okay. And so that will be a nighttime. Otherwise, what's the timing on the...
During the day, we're open from 10 in the morning till 5, and then we go home and collapse.
Right.
Because we work really hard during this event. We've all worked pretty hard beforehand because we wanted to have a lot of really nice clay work to show everybody.
Okay, so you have so much going on in this it's show and sale, but it's more like a festival almost. I'm going to grab my paperwork here because you've got workshops going on and demonstrations. And I have gone each year, and I have come home each year with something, including some of Jan's work, but also several other people. And the diversity in this show is terrific. The space also, you're at the Artisan again?
We're at the Artisan in El Waco. It's a tremendous space. It was an old lumber yard and then a sign shop. And about 6 years ago, Truman and Donna Rue rehabbed it and made it into a beautiful art space.
Yeah.
There are two great big gallery rooms, and then there's a great big studio room. And out in the yard, there's a huge fenced yard. And we're having several events happen in that outside yard that will be really stunning.
What are you going to do out there?
We are, the first thing that will happen
is there fire?
Fire. Smoke.
Yeah, I remember that time I was there, and there was fire and smoke and garbage pails and people pulling things in and out.
Yeah.
And it was very impressive. So what is going to...
Well, Karen Brownlee's been evolving what she calls a paper volcano kiln, and it's a big... you can't make functional work in it, but the decorative work is really gorgeous, and it's a kiln made in a metal barrel with wooden stakes, and then they put a paper and clay skin around it, and the pots are down inside. And they're not glazed in the standard fashion. They're glazed with copper wire and ferric, strange and weird chemicals that you don't normally run into.
That's why it's outside.
And have to be careful. Right. And you light it off, and it takes about 5 hours for it to burn down, and then you, the next morning, get all the good surprises.
Oh, how fun. So the artists whose work is going to be in there
Well, that's kind of cool. That's one of our workshops. You can actually go there and buy one of the pots and decorate it yourself and put it in the kiln. And then it's yours.
Oh, and she'll help you understand
Absolutely.
What the heck you're doing.
That's one afternoon. That would be Thursday afternoon. Then on Saturday, we're having a one-day workshop with some folks, Dave and Bonnie Deal. They're coming in from Camas.
They do those huge pieces.
Dave makes huge pieces.
Amazing.
They've been on Oregon Public Art Beat. Mm-hmm. He will be firing a huge pot, and he dresses up in this extraordinary fire suit.
Oh, really?
And pulls a 3-foot pot out of the kiln.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really quite
Yeah, I've seen their
stunning.
Work, and I think anybody would be impressed, not with the work, period. But
the work is incredible.
But also the process.
So what we're doing Saturday, they will be throwing pots. They will be, again, that's a class.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be throwing pots. Bonnie will be doing her multi-stage decorating, and then Dave will do the firing. On opening night, Rod Maxwell Muir from Chinook will be demonstrating, so that's kind of fun.
Now, he's on the inside. He's not outside, is he? Because I saw him
He'll be doing that on Wednesday night, the 8th, inside, yes, in the works, in the studio room.
It's a fabulous space for this because you go in and, well, actually there are many ways you can get into that space too, but you go in and he was there and I took a photo of him, is it last year or 2 years ago? He was working and there were two children.
That was a gorgeous photo.
He was, he had them so totally engaged and the mom was sitting back and they were just, and he was communicating and they were little, but they were so drawn to his work and he was so kind and sweet with them.
He's a really neat person.
So that's happening, this is all, that's Wednesday night, the 7th, when it opens. Okay.
Right.
So,
we have one more smoke and fire day.
What's that?
That would be Sunday the 11th. And that one, you can either bring your own pot or buy one from us and glaze it with brightly colored raku glazes and fire it.
Okay. And now, is all of this information online somewhere?
On our Facebook page.
Okay.
Peninsula, you know, you go into Facebook and
if you're
Peninsula
on Facebook,
Clay Artists.
Okay.
Otherwise, we can you can call one of us and we'll email you something.
Mm-hmm.
If not that, Dots and Doodles, M&D Designs in both Chinook and Long Beach and the Bay Avenue Gallery in Ocean Park all have class schedules.
Oh, great. And since you mentioned Dots and Doodles, I'll just tell folks, I just had a conversation with Scott and who said that the Pentangle workshop this Saturday is full, but they will be having another one in the fall, so call them if you want to be part of that. If you need phone numbers, call after the show at 4 o'clock, and we'll give you all the information you need. This this flyer, this poster you put out, has some gorgeous work all across the bottom. Your daughter, Heather, is coming from Florida.
She is. We're
Tell us what she's going to be doing.
On another community mosaic. We have mosaic workshops Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's an all-day workshop. You get to make a mosaic to take home.
You only have to go one of those
days. Yeah,
you can go all.
We've had people come to all four, and we've had people, and most people just come to one.
Right. Okay.
And in addition to making your own mosaic, you will participate in a community mosaic, which will. Probably there kind of are two, but there's one that will be on the Long Beach Peninsula Visitors Bureau building forevermore.
Right. And you guys did that last year, right, Heather?
Yes, that one went to the Bay Avenue Gallery in Ocean Park, and there are several. There are four at the Artisan.
Wow. So this is exciting, folks. You can be into perpetuity as well as taking something home yourself. For folks who just want to look and drool and hopefully decide to support your local artists and take something home. The Peninsula Clay Artists 5th Annual Show and Sale begins Wednesday the 7th, goes all the way through the 17th, daily 10 to 5, and except for opening night, the 7th, party time, and El Waco Art Night, which is August 15th, and those times it'll be open till 8 p.m. So it's 114 Main Street in El Waco, Main Street Southwest in El Waco at the Artisan. And you got plenty of time to get there, so it's worthy. Jan, since you're here right now, why don't you tell us, because I have a couple of your pieces too, why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, for many years, I did clay houses. I lived on the East Coast in Maryland, and I love the old farmhouses. I lived in the country, so I did portraits of old houses.
Portraits in clay?
In clay.
Okay.
Three-dimensional. Some were 6 inches tall, and some were 12 inches tall.
You know, I've never heard the term portraits used in that way, so interesting.
One of them I did was of the vice president's house in Washington, D.C. Because Joan Mondale, I was her when she lived there, and she was a big supporter of the arts.
Oh, nice.
Since then, I moved here in 2006, and I semi-retired.
We know what that means.
I work harder than ever.
Exactly.
And I'm having an absolute blast.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
I decided that I wanted to learn other kinds of clay work, develop a different aesthetic, and I've spent a lot of time with Richard Rowland at the college, mm-hmm. and he's amazing and brilliant. And I've done Onagama firing with him. I also, in the winter, work at my daughter's in Florida, and I work with Onagama soda and salt there, and I've been doing a variety of different kinds of work.
So is there an Onagama kiln in Florida near?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They're everywhere now.
They've become popular.
Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to have Richard and Patty have the Onagama kiln right here in Clatsop County. I heard a rumor about that.
It's going to be quite extraordinary.
And people in the community who either already know and say, oh, my gosh, get me in on that, or don't know what we're talking about, want to experience this as an old art form originally from Korea, China, Japan, and now right here in Clatsop County. The work is magnificent.
Onagama takes anywhere between 5 to 7 days to fire, and takes...
And that's 24 hours.
Yeah, you don't leave the kiln.
Exactly.
So we have a crew that works in shifts, and it's really a special community. We also use an awful lot of wood.
Uh-huh. I know.
We stack a lot of wood.
I know. And
it's great.
And I sometimes have to question that one, too, being a person who heats with wood myself. So,
oh, my word.
Yeah. Now, I did see something in the paper about what was David going to be doing?
David Campeach, who's been making pots around here for
ever.
A long, long time.
Right.
And owns the Shelburne Inn in Seaview. He is going to make a pot, about a 3-foot-tall pot, mm-hmm. and then people are going to come and add parts to it, parts that will be made right there that day. And that's
nice.
One of our workshops.
Okay.
That pot, when it's fired, will end up somewhere permanently installed on the peninsula with a little plaque on it with the people's names.
So, Jan, what year did you come here?
In 2006.
Okay. When you came here, was the peninsula already bursting with arts?
No, it wasn't. It's exploded.
It's fabulous. Well, you and your ilk are part of it. We have the Peninsula Clay Artists, which we're talking about right now. We have the Peninsula Arts Association. We have two theaters, one of which is showing Papa right now, is showing Wizard of Oz. This is the last weekend coming up, and I saw it, and it was great. And then there's the Peninsula Players. And there's just galleries,
the Performing Arts Center.
Now, the Music Festival has been going on for 30 years, but everything has just grown, right?
It's a wonderful place to live.
It's terrific. And
it has
Bruce
many surprises.
Peterson is part of that, too. So, and the businesses support the arts, too.
Yes.
So this is a great time, and it's right across the bridge, which, by the way, is only got one lane open right now. Some of my guests are coming across that bridge.
Dear.
Hopefully they'll make it in time. We don't know. But the U.S. 101 northbound collision is blocking at milepost 2 near Fort Columbia Tunnel until approximately 4 p.m., folks. So there's only one lane open on the bridge. So don't go there now. But starting on the 7th through the 17th, go over there and have a look at the incredible stuff that the Peninsula Clay Artists are doing. How many folks do you have involved? How many
this
artists?
Year we have 6 exhibiting members. We also invite just supportive members. We have a growing number of members who just join us so that they can come to our meetings and learn new things, and they are general members. And
okay.
they'll be there helping us, too. We have, everybody does work that's totally different
I
from
love
everybody
that.
Else.
Absolutely.
And it's so exciting.
And I have to say, we don't give any prizes, of course, but the prices range tremendously. I've bought a couple of gifts there for some young people who got married here. I bought some heart-like gifts there. And it's great to be able to
it's pretty
take part
exciting.
Of that. So let me just mention again, August 7th through 17th, daily, 10 to 5, opening night the 7th, and Iwako Art Walk the 15th till 8 p.m. 15 workshops and demonstrations, wheel throwing, mosaics, hand building, alternative firing, raku, sculpture, lithographic printing on clay. It's all happening at the Artisan, 114 Main Street Southwest in Ilwaukee, Washington. And you can do the Facebook thing, facebook.com Peninsula Clay Artists. Or send an email to peninsulaclayartists@gmail.com.
And check Coast Weekend, page 20.
Oh, yeah.
There's
Coast Weekend's
huge,
got a nice write-up this week. They've got a lot on the arts. I just kept more and more happening. So thanks so much for coming in, Jan.
It was fun being here, as
always.
Absolutely.
I look forward to seeing the show. And, I have one of those bird things. Who makes that?
Sue Raymond.
Sue Raymond, that's right. Well, I had a visitor at my house who said, oh, I just love that bird. It's got little garlic thingies that were in there to begin with. They died, I thought. I watered them. They came back. You know, it's,
oh, how funny. I'll
yeah,
tell her.
Yeah, it's really fun. Thanks so much for
coming in.
Okay, Jan Richardson, my guest. And I've got some more music coming up right now from, going to go back to that beautiful album with Vieux Farka Touré. And then I will bring in my next guests. In the background, I just want to let you know a few things that are going on today. And by the way, the one lane is open in the tunnel. It's the tunnel where the accident happened, so there's only one lane open in the tunnel. The bridge is normal. Good luck, folks, but be careful and stay away from there if you can. But if you're my guests, please try to get here, and if you can't, we'll tell them all about you anyway. So tonight, of course, Peace Vigil at 5 o'clock. The Coaster Theater has Friday and Saturday is The Importance of Being Earnest. That's tonight and tomorrow night. And on Sunday, these are all at 7:30. Sunday is Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Wednesday as well. Tuesday is a special, a midsummer celebration. Starts at 6:30 with goodies. 7:30 is going to be a show. This is strictly a benefit for Coaster Theater Technology. So come and support. And it's going to be a lot of old-timers coming back to sing, as well as all the regulars you love at the Coaster. Astor Street Opry Company, Friday and Saturday at 7:30. Shanghai in Astoria. I wonder how he would sing that. I don't think he would sing that, but here we go. Sunday at 2 p.m. And Klatskanai Quilt Show Friday and Saturday, well, 10 to 4, so you can still catch a little today. It's at the American Legion, or tomorrow. Shakespeare's Macbeth at the Nehalem Bay State Park at 7 o'clock. Wizard of Oz, I mentioned Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 3, last weekend. Klatskanai Bluegrass Festival Friday and Saturday and Sunday is happening, including Kathy Boyd and Phoenix Rising, who put Klatskanai on the worldwide map. What a deal, folks. Sandtrap is featuring Naomi Hooley with Rob Stroop. Dance Magic Grand Champions are at the Seaside Convention Center Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday. And the Clatsop County Fair is happening. My wishes go out to the animals. But the music is good, and it's a fun time there. Gorgeous quilts there, too. Willapa Hip Festival in Raymond till 6 o'clock tonight, Saturday 10 to 6 and Sunday 10 to 3. And the Whale Spout in Rockaway Beach is featuring the Coaster Band. That's all just today and a little bit over the weekend. Well, I have some folks here who have traveled a ways, and they are brand new to me. And I am delighted to welcome, as a matter of fact, they're so brand new that I don't even have Jared's last name. Jared, what's your last name?
It's Scharfetter.
Well, no wonder I don't have it. How do you say that again?
It's Scharfetter. It's Scharfetter.
Wow. Okay. Jared Scharfetter and Jessica Winfrey. Yep. You sound like a country music stars, and Jessica.
Oh, do I?
I do. Well, your name does. Oh, let's get that mic a little bit closer to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Either way. Well, they are here. They're two young people who have graduated. How recently?
I just graduated in December.
Oh, very recently. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
how
I
about
finished up March this year.
Oh, even more recently. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes,
let's tip that up. Okay, folks, Jared just gave you another tip in addition to tipping the mic. He called me ma'am. So I said to him, so Jared, tell me, are you from the South or are you from the military? And he said,
I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. But he doesn't have a very strong accent. That's a little disappointing. But when he comes back from Memphis next time, he'll probably be. Yeah.
He'll be saying y'all and all y'all and everything that needs to be said.
Oh, come on. There you sneak in y'all every chance you get.
There you go. So where did you grow up, Jessica?
I actually grew up in Orange County, California.
Okay.
Primarily. I moved around a lot as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Up until I was about 8. And then
you stayed in Orange County. So you are from that Southern California area. So
I am.
You didn't have to go very far to go to.
No, I didn't.
Not geographically, at least.
Geographically, no. It is all very similar down there. But
what was your path that took you into film, though?
Well, really, my parents were always very supportive. Neither of them are necessarily artists, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They both grew up on farms in Central California. So they didn't necessarily have much artistic input, but they were always so supportive of me and always encouraged me to pursue what
them.
I wanted.
That's terrific. Yeah.
I couldn't have asked for better parents.
Yeah, that's quite wonderful. Jared, you came a little bit further.
Yes, ma'am.
So there it is again, folks. So how did you get from the Southeast to the Southwest and from one life to another? Did you grow up in the arts?
No, ma'am. I've same thing. My family was not an arts family, and I actually played hockey most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the University of Memphis and started studying there. Still had no idea what I wanted to do, but took a couple classes in intro to film and thoroughly enjoyed it, but realized that there was no use of equipment. There was more theory.
Uh-huh.
So I had a friend that lived in Chicago, and I went up and visited him one time, saw the Columbia College of Chicago there, and started researching it a little more and found out that there was one in Hollywood.
Oh, and so you
figured I would take the leap and head out west.
How long is the course that you guys
did? It's 4 years.
It is 4 years.
It is 4 years.
Do you end up with a degree?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
we both ended up with bachelor's degrees in cinema.
You do? Okay. Mm-hmm. So now comes the question. You're no longer in Hollywood or Memphis. You're here in Astoria visiting us. You've got your degree in cinema. What do you do now? What happens now?
Well,
yes.
Well, we ended up, we did some work while we were in school on set and got around. I shot a film, or didn't shoot, I was working on a film in West Virginia last September before I graduated and started working with a bunch of guys that were from the area. And they were talking about how close their community was, how much they consistently worked, and it almost seemed like a family. Much of these guys who were from Washington and from West Virginia, some even from a little farther south, they had all known each other and had worked before. And so I started getting interested in that, and we started kind of looking around and noticed that it's, you know, some films were getting, there were a lot of films being made outside of LA, some that weren't funded by the studios and some that were, and it just kind of, we knew we could go out and see what was around.
It wasn't actually until right before I graduated film school that I even realized how many productions were taking place outside of Los Angeles.
So when you started all this, you figured you would be stuck or...
Right.
By choice or by, in L.A. area.
I had come to terms, tried to accept the fact that Los Angeles was where I was going to be. Not that it's a horrible place, it's just...
Yeah. Not necessarily the whole world.
Right.
And now that you're in the Pacific Northwest, well.
Personally, we love it here.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So you're, what are you doing on this trip?
Well, what we're doing is, ever since we left LA, we've been documenting our travels up the West Coast so far, exploring independent filmmaking outside of Los Angeles. Directly relevant to what I was just saying about how many productions are going on outside of LA County.
So how do you connect with people, independent filmmakers? Or
there are so many different websites. The internet is our best friend right now.
Great. Excellent.
And one of the great things about the Pacific Northwest is when we first got to Seattle before coming down to Portland, we went to the film office and they put us in the direction of a call board. They gave us a whole list of websites that you could get in touch with filmmakers in the area, and not just in Seattle, but the whole Pacific Northwest,
which was
a huge
forums.
Gold
mine. Yeah. And have you found people receptive to meeting you or talking with you?
We have found some. We didn't get a chance to meet up with quite as many people in Seattle as we would have liked, but...
And also it's summertime, which is a whole nother issue.
Everybody's out doing stuff already.
Yeah, so because if we get sun, we're out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You
may have discovered, whereas you have sun all the time.
And we ended up, we were under a lot of stress at that moment, too, because we actually broke down, our truck broke down about 3 hours north of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was going to mention, the first email I got said, the truck broke down. I thought, oh, what a way to start a trip. So were you able to jerry-rig the truck, or did you have to...
That's what we've been doing since...
A lot of chewing gum, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you have a... Do you have a Kickstarter? Is that what that... Or some kind of crowd...
Yeah, we have a crowdfunding website on Indiegogo. The link is igg.me/@ Ramble On is the name of our... documentary that we're making.
Nice. So. I like that. Yeah. Well, and for people who do that kind of stuff, that they immediately go, oh, I understand how to get there. So, and what are your hopes at this point? You said you went up to Seattle, you came down to Portland, now you're here. Are you going back to Portland or are you going to head out or what?
We're actually heading out to Boise, Idaho next.
Oh, okay.
We've got friends. She has two friends that she worked with in the vet clinic that are out, that moved out there, and I have one that I grew up with who works a lot with birds and everything. So we actually got in touch with him, and he was saying that they're shooting documentaries out there. One specifically about some species of bird, and so we're kind of hoping that we can find these guys and kind of bring it into what we're incorporating. And,
okay. Now, I heard you say something about a vet clinic. Did you work in a vet clinic?
I did for several years. I was a veterinary technician.
Oh, are you? Oh, very cool. Yeah. We have some good friends who are vet techs. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, in addition to making this documentary about the trip, what kinds of stuff are you interested in in documenting? And are you looking to be documentarians as opposed to, I don't have the vocabulary really. How does that all break down?
Of course, yeah. Well, basically, what the whole point of this documentary in particular is about is to stop asking permission of people to make art, make films, whether it's
Bravo.
Documentaries, short films, music videos, feature films. Because something that is ingrained in you if you do end up studying film in LA is they tell you all the things that you can't do, all the odds against you, which isn't necessarily false.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everybody goes to try and do the same thing that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we figured out that, hey, we don't have to be there to make movies and mm-hmm. to share our stories with people and to show people what it's like, we kept on going.
And so that's what you're doing now. So if you get, for example, if you meet up with the folks in Boise,
mm-hmm.
You might end up doing something about the birds or the animals in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to be inspired by the subject matter, or can it be a political situation or something you stumble upon, a beautiful place, or what's driving your desire to do this?
A lot of it was we knew we wanted to get out and kind of see what was happening with film,
mm-hmm.
but what we're finding as we're getting out there, we ended up staying with a couple musicians up in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
And just a lot of what's going on politically just around the country too is like there's so much happening right now, and a big part of it is art. Art is just growing independently everywhere, and especially with the music and with the film scene, and it's so beautiful that people need to take in that that this is happening, that art needs to grow even more than it has.
So we have an independent movie theater. We have a 7-plex, but we also have an independent movie theater here. And we just had, as a matter of fact, it's going on all this month, we're having fundraisers because at the end of this month, they're not going to be able to get film anymore. They have to buy a digital machine. So...
Right.
You know about that.
Yes, ma'am. Film, it is not dead, but they're doing their best to
kill it.
To put it under the ground.
So what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be putting out?
Well, we've actually already put out a music video that we made along our trip in the Central Coast of California. We have a feature script in development that we're working on, that we're planning on shooting on this trip as well. We are doing the digital thing
mm-hmm,
right now
mm-hmm.
because it is so inexpensive
mm-hmm.
or so much more inexpensive
right,
than it
right.
is.
It's not cheap, but it's less.
Right.
Right. That's one of the advantages, I think, of going.
Mm-hmm.
So if folks want to contact you again, give us the how-to.
Well, our crowdfunding website, again, is on Indiegogo.com. You can do the short link at igg.me/@ramble/ramble on.
Okay.
And then another link that we have a Facebook page as well, which is just facebook.com/ramble on the film. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you search Ramble on the Film, it's the first one that pops up.
Okay, I like that idea. It's the first mm-hmm. one that pops up, that's you.
Okay.
So Jessica Winfrey and Jared Scharfetter, and they are going to be heading out today. If you want to give them a quick call. You can call right here at the station, 503-325-0010, and ask for Jessica and Jared, and they'll be here. Or just come on over and meet them. They're adorable young people who have some dreams, and I'm delighted to hear that. And I don't know whether you heard me say, but that's what's happening in this region, too. The arts and culture are just exploding in a wonderful way. And that's yeah. the only thing that's going to make this world better. So
absolutely.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
And thank you to you guys for being part of that.
Thank you for having us.
You
it's
bet.
Beautiful
yeah.
here.
You bet. Okay. Well, enjoy your trip and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And I've got some music here from you. You are listening to KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, 91.9, 89.5. And Bonnie Bentley is going to be at Sweet Basil. Boy, she came back with a vengeance. She's just playing everywhere, and it's very exciting. She's going to be at Sweet Basil's in Cannon Beach, 7 to 10, tomorrow night. Let's have a listen. ¶¶
word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. The newspapers shout, a new style is growing. But they don't know if it's coming or going.
Well, folks, what did I tell you? Did I tell you who that is? That's Maggie Kitson. That is our own Maggie Kitson. And she and the 3T are playing Saturday. Also Saturday, they are playing. Let's see where they're playing. At the Seaside Legion at 8:30 on Saturday. Seaside Legion for Maggie and the 3T. That's the Tomasian boy and Richard Tomasian and the crew. And we'll hear a little from Bonnie Bentley later. Right now, we've got Peter Roscoe here. And Peter picked up the pieces and has made a run for it. And by golly, the Astoria Regatta is going to happen. So thanks for coming in, Peter. This
sure.
is pretty exciting. When does it start? Very soon.
Well, actually, the first kickoff is Wednesday night.
The 7th.
The Kiwanis Kitties Parade on Wednesday night, the 7th. Thursday night is the coronation at Astoria High School. And then Friday and Saturday is when it really is going in earnest. And there are a number of very interesting things there, but you wanted to talk about the arts. So,
well, why don't you just mention some of this stuff? Because a lot of the locals, of course. What number regatta is this, by the way? Do you know?
Well, it started 119 years ago.
Oh, that's good enough. 119 years. That's older than.
That's
well, not,
older
not,
than. Well, I'm not going to say anything, Carol.
No, it's
maybe
older than,
combined.
Combined, it's not as old as we are. We know that.
Okay.
So, but. There are lots of events, and local people know what the regatta is, but there are people listening to this show all over the world. What is a regatta? What is the regatta here?
Regatta is actually, if you just take the term regatta, would probably immediately jump to mind as some kind of a sailboat race. And Astoria's regatta really started as a celebration of fishermen coming back from Alaska with their salted catch.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing about Astoria's regatta and is I've always said that it reflects the Astoria of its time. So what I mean by that is 119 years ago in 1895
whatever,
or whatever it was, it started 1894, Astoria was a much more significant port on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the time, it was... You know, it was much more important as an industrial port. Well, the regatta quickly became one of the sailboat races on the West Coast that if you were in the boating community, you needed to go there because that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now you fast forward to the mid-century, say, in the 1950s and 60s, and Astoria was really a hub of salmon canning. There were bumblebee and just number of canneries. I mean, people like me that grew up here, we worked in the canneries in the summer. That's what you did.
All you have to do is go here, Shanghai and Astoria. You'll hear the slime line and all that. When I came in 1974, there were 14 canneries still.
Yeah, there were still a lot of canneries.
Yeah, including bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly. And the regatta at that time had a number of traditions and sailboat races and hydroplane races even and things like that. But a big component of it at that time was the Salmon Derby. And what that was is sport fishermen would go out and try and catch the biggest salmon over a couple of days and get cash prizes.
Oh.
And there would be 3,000, 3,500 boats out in the river trying to catch fish.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, you've got Astoria has kind of reinvented itself to some degree as a historic place. Mm-hmm. And the thing that piques our curiosity about Astoria is the same thing that makes us kind of love regattas, its age and the history of it. So that's
tradition.
What I mean. It kind of reflects the era as it goes along. It reflects the Astoria of its day.
So what kinds of things are we still going to have 3,500 sailboats out here?
No, it wasn't sailboats.
The
Fish and Wildlife people said, we're not having salmon derbies anymore. So they cut that off a long time ago.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we're going to have, we have made some new community partners, or at least strengthened those ties in ways that haven't happened in years previous. And one of them, in fact, I just saw John Broderick and Cobe.
Kiter,
this morning.
Right. Fisher Poets. All
right. Yeah, we got Fisher Poets. Let me back up for a second. Mm-hmm. Also, when I would remember back to the regatta as I was growing up, the salmon barbecue was a really big deal. And for a lot of people may not realize that the 4-H and the fairgrounds, the county fairgrounds and the 4-H grounds were down in the area that's sunken where the aquatic center and the maritime, the seafood school and the cinema is down there.
KMUN used to have a booth at the fair out there.
That was where the fairgrounds were. And that was, man, they had a salmon barbecue down there that was huge. Yeah. And it was a very big deal. So part of what we're doing this year in this whole rebranding that we've done is to begin to rebrand the salmon barbecue. And so there's a reach out this year through, as being a restaurateur, I'm in the restaurant community. We have all contributed and we've all benefited by making Astoria a culinary destination.
Absolutely.
A number of people that have done that, a lot of people that are passionate about what they do and they do it well. This barbecue is going to be really, really good.
When is that going to be?
From 10 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The formal name for it is Heritage Square. Some people know it as the old Safeway lot.
Right. What day is that going to happen?
That's Saturday
the
10th.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to have a stage there. I think we're going to have some people from KMUN there. Mm-hmm. The Fisher Poets
will be on the stage.
But also we've got some local musicians will also be performing. But some of the bands that are in the parade, for instance, the Chinese Dragons are coming to the parade.
Nice.
And we've got bagpipe band, and then we've got
and this is all on Saturday.
This is all on Saturday.
Okay, so the big day. Tune in, and again, you can get the information. What's the best way for people to get information?
The best way to get information is to go on the website that Scott Dougherty from Red Hair has done a fantastic job with our website.
And what's the
go
name?
Go to AstoriaRegatta.com.
Oh, well, that's easy enough.
Pops right up. It's got event schedules. It's got history. It's got...
Excellent.
You can spend an hour and a half in there looking at old pictures.
And then you're going to want to come here. Wherever you are in the world, you can go to the Astoria Regatta www.theoldtimerscoach.com and then book your tickets or jump in your vehicle or your bicycle and come on down.
Yeah, come on down. And one other thing, if we got just a minute.
Half a minute, because I got
okay, there's a Friday morning at 11 o'clock, we've also created a new, the memorial for the seamen down at the Memorial Park is going to be particularly poignant, and we're creating a new tradition. And the other thing is, Saturday afternoon, we've redone the parade. The boat parade is no longer the Twilight Boat Parade. We're working in conjunction with the tide. It's now called the High Water Boat Parade.
What a clever idea.
And so it's going to be...
work with the tide.
We're going to have a lot of boats there.
All right.
It's going to be a real reflection of the people that work and recreate on the Columbia River.
Well, I want to congratulate you, Peter, for seeing this thing about to go down and saying, no way, no... Our story of regatta is going to happen.
I only have a panic attack about three times an hour.
Okay, so folks, if you live around here, you know what's been happening in our area. Traditions have been revitalized. New traditions have been happening. And we've been working together. And the best way to bring everybody up, raise the bar, literally, is to work together on this. So check it out. This is one of the old traditions, and join in on Saturday, especially August 10th. But it's starting out on Wednesday night, so you can check it all out at storyregatta.com. Peter, thanks so much for doing
Carol.
It and for coming in.
And remember the theme, a river runs to it.
I love it. That's great. A river runs to it. Very good. We'll use that one. Okay. Got some music from Bonnie Bentley, as promised, and then, totally different, I've got the Beach Belly Dance Arts Festival coming in because they did make it through. Again, it may be clearing now. If somebody has that information, give us a call and let us know, 503-325-0010, the collision blocking the tunnel near Fort Columbia. If you know better, give us a call. Otherwise, stay away from it if you can, but I'm really glad my guests made it in. Here's Bonnie Bentley, and then we'll hear from them. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUNS Storia, KTCB Tillamook.
From a distance, I could see the world breaking down.
That's Bonnie Bentley, and I know you've heard this song before. I love the way she does this. And she and the Phantom Teardrops, again, are going to be at Sweet Basil's on Saturday night, 7 to 10. Now, that's in Cannon Beach. Maggie Kitson Band is in Seaside, 8:30. And they'll probably go even later. So you can catch all this music. Ha, good luck, folks. And if you would like something entirely different, I've got it for you right here. And I'm going to let them tell you about it. I have three folks from the Beach Belly Dance Arts Festival. And just last night, I heard from someone who's catering for it. That would be Drina Daisy, one of my favorite foods, the Bosnian food here. And Fordinka was saying it was a fabulous festival last year, as I heard. And so they're doing it again. So I have Varian, Sarah, and Malcolm. Okay. Yeah. So first, we don't have a lot of time. I'm sorry about that, but we didn't know whether you were going to make it or not. So
it's okay.
Tell folks,
it's okay.
What is the Beach Belly Dance Arts Festival? And it's at the Lavender Farm on the peninsula. So go ahead and give us an overview.
It's a festival that brings people in our community together over the concept of belly dance. We have gone ahead and gotten several different vendors and performers from all over Portland and Idaho and Washington to come out.
Over 30 of them, actually.
Yeah.
30 of them?
Yep.
If, 30 of them, if not more.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I have never, I've gone by the Painted Lady Lavender Farm, but I've never actually gone in. So I'm gathering it's big. It's a big area you have there.
It's a decent sized area with a very fairy tale type atmosphere to it. It's in full bloom right now. Oh. Absolutely beautiful.
Enchanting.
And smells delicious.
Oh, yes.
No doubt. Oh, most definitely smells delicious.
And we're going to have belly dancers, fire dancers. We're going to have Kim Angelis come out and perform for us.
Lovely. That would be on the violin.
Yes.
And will somebody be dancing while she...
Well, I'm sure there's going to be people dancing.
I have a feeling there will be, yes.
We have workshops being done by Carla from Portland and all the way from Idaho, Yasmin Edwards. She'll be teaching some instructionals on belly dance and Middle Eastern drum rhythms.
Okay, so hold on a second now. First, let's tell folks this is happening not this weekend, but next weekend, so you can get yourself organized.
Yeah,
that's correct.
August 10th and 11th.
August 10th and 11th.
Right, but now, you know, a lot of people see belly dancing and they go, wow, I'd love to do that, but I can never do that.
Oh, most definitely. That's the wrong way to think about it. Anybody can do belly dancing, from the young to the old to the fit to the not so fit. It's just something to see. You should come out and have a look at the people that are out there. There's different people of all different shapes and sizes, different ethnicities. And all you can say is just come out and have a look at it.
And give it a try?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Everybody's welcome to give it a try.
Everybody's welcome to give us a try.
Okay. So now, Malcolm, are you going to be dancing?
No, actually, I'm a percussionist. I will be playing with my small instructional group. I teach.
Do you play dumbek?
Yes, I play a dumbek. And I have my son and one other person. We go by the name of the Three Blind Mice. We're stepping out into our own, and you'll come and see us, and we'll hopefully entertain. We live in Ilwaco.
You do? Okay, great. I'll have to talk to you because I have a dumbek too. Yes. What about you, Sarah? What's your you're a dancer. I've seen you dance, actually. And of course, I've seen Barry dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I dance under the name Hadassah.
Exactly.
And
you were on this show before.
Nope. I have not talked to you.
I accosted you at the,
the opening of the AMC.
Exactly.
I believe is where
because
we first
I
met.
Said, you're going by the name Hadassah, are you? Okay,
yep,
right.
That was me.
And you were beautiful, and you're young.
Thank you. Yes.
When did you start doing this?
About, I think it was 4 years ago now. I met Varian for the first time and found out immediately she was a belly dancer. And the first thing through my head was, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to do that. And now, 4 years later, I'm still doing it and I love it. And I just wanted to say, I heard what you said with your previous guest about old traditions being revived and starting new ones. That's really what this is all about for us. We want to start a tradition on the peninsula that brings people in and just a really fun sense of community. There's music, there's dancing, there's vendors, there's food. The whole thing is going to be really amazing.
I believe you entirely, and with the live drumming, music here, that is driving folks. Even if you don't think you want to be part of it, you're going to find yourself on your feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very true, very true.
Yeah.
Might I interject a little bit here? We have a location out just, I think it's east of the Ilwaco Cemetery. Oh, actually, just west of the Ilwaco Cemetery, at 1664 Highway 101 South. For those who don't know where that is, that's the Painted Lady Lavender Farm.
Yeah, and if you drive, if you're just driving on the peninsula, you will pass it. The sign is on your right if you're coming from Astoria.
Most definitely.
And the tunnel is clear, by the way, so you guys...
We were the first ones through.
Okay, well, thank you. But the tunnel is clear, so everybody is welcome to go back and forth on the peninsula now again. I did want to ask you... when the 10th is Saturday, so when? What? Give us a time-ish.
It starts at approximately 11 o'clock and runs till 9 o'clock in the evening. If you think that's a little too long to wait, well, we have things at the end of the show that you might want to just wait for. Ooh. Lots of sparks, lots of flame.
You mentioned fire dancing.
And raffles. We're going to have raffles and door prizes as well. So it's worth to stick around.
And now, how can people, is there a website or some way that people can find out more?
Yes, thebeachbellydancestudios.com. Mm-hmm. is where we have our website. And as you said before, it can be accessed anywhere on the international web.
Okay, tell me that again. Beach Belly Dance
Studios.
Studios.
Dot com.
Dot com.